Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Real Spill Radio. This is your girl, Raven, the Serial Poet, coming to bring to y'all another night of 31 Days of Heart. Y'all have been going through it. I've been seeing y'all coming back to listen to the playback. That is greatly appreciated. Thanks for the love and support. Just like I said, this is day 8. And as the days go by, it's just going to get even more spooky, terrifying, and just bone-chilling. So, I'm not going to hold up the flow of things. If you want to call in, the number is 914-205-5813. That is 914-205-5813. Or if you want to come, click the link, Blog Talk Radio, and get into Raven's Real Spill Studio, you can click the link and come listen to it online. So, whatever floats your boat. Let's get into the story of 31 Days of Heart.
Have you ever played with a corpse? It happened when I was a little kid, just before when I was about to enter kindergarten. I went to the small valley with my family, grandparents, and my relatives. I was such a brave child as I was too young at the time. Just relying on my little swim tube, I used to play alone deep in the valley water without wearing a life jacket and come out and eat watermelon. My siblings were a little older than me, but being scared, they didn't come in. So I always hid them and then went into the water to tease them. And the adults were sitting on a low wooden bench near the valley just watching us. After eating lunch, I got bored again. I think it was about after 5 or 6. I went back to the water to play alone. Thinking back, it was totally crazy. I was circling about with my hips crammed in a tube carelessly. I was in a situation where I might die right away if the tube flips. but I was just looking up at the sky and thinking that the clouds were pretty at that time. Then, suddenly, the center of my swim tube was shaken a little bit. That was the moment. A girl who looks like a middle school student suddenly grabbed my arm. Her lips looked slightly purple, as if she had been playing in the water for a long time. Then she smiled and said, as if she was reassuring me, "You're gonna fall off. Grab it tightly." She looked kinda older than me, and I was just excited about the thing that she's gonna stay and play with me for a while. So I grabbed the tube, and then I swam with her. While she dragged my tube, I couldn't even realize what time it is now. I had so much fun with her. About an hour later, she started to take me to a shallow place near the riverside. "It's going to be cold soon. I'll take you to the adults," she said. But at that moment, my grandmother suddenly screamed and kept shouting my name. She was very old, and she didn't even come into the water, but she hurriedly came into the water with her socks on, and she lifted me up and then ran out. "Grandma, what's wrong? What happened?" I shouted. But as soon as I came out of the water, my family tried to cover my eyes so I couldn't see the valley. And my grandma was crying while saying that I was possessed by a ghost. I remember going to a temple or shaman's house for a while after that. A few years later, I asked my grandmother what happened that day, and what she told me was a pure shock. The moment my grandmother looked at the valley to see if I was playing well alone, she saw that I was talking to myself while giggling, and something black got stuck at the end of my tube and was wobbling together. Wondering what I was so funny about, she put glasses on to see me and that black thing. And at that moment, she saw that I was swimming around holding someone's black and long hair. Her heart sank, and as she decided to approach me quickly, she then saw the dead body slowly coming up. That's why she ran towards me. Now that I think about it, that memory didn't scare me at all, literally. However, I still can't forget the faces of those adults who saw the scene.
This story is about my grandfather's experience. He died a long time ago. After he was declared dead at the hospital, we took the body home and put it in his room because my grandmother wanted to see him a little more before saying goodbye to her husband. But then, something happened. 2 days later, the room door suddenly opened and my grandfather crawled out asking for water. Literally, my grandmother and all of the aunts just fainted, and only my uncles and my mom were barely awake. And I was just staring at this weird sight because I was too young at the time. I gave my grandfather a whole body massage after I brought him water, and on that day, the house was in chaos. A few months later, I went to my grandparents' house again, and he was so lively that I couldn't believe that he's the one who once died. One day I was sitting with my grandfather eating ice cream, and he started to tell me a story. On that day, my grandfather woke up in the hospital, and he noticed that everyone was crying. He asked them why they were crying, but no one answered, so he was just standing there. And then a man in a black suit called him outside the hospital room. Without time to think, he began following him, and he started to feel a little bit sad rather than scared. The crying sound from behind gradually decreased, and as he walked along with the man, he could see the village where he used to live as a child. There was a river at his feet that he had never seen before, and the river was really, really red, so he got goosebumps. The man was walking on the surface of the water, and he pressed my grandfather to come over quickly, so the moment he tried to follow him, he was also walking on the water. After crossing the river, he then saw a black wooden structure long past the wasteland. When he was about to pass the gate, a woman in black mourning came out from the inside and kicked him out, saying, "No, you brought the wrong person. If you want to live another 3 years of your life, go and ignore everyone you meet. Do not look back. Just follow the four-legged animal." The woman said like this and disappeared into the house with the man. So my grandfather was going back the way he came, and then he saw one of his friends who had died a few years ago standing there. He beckoned him to come closer, but my grandfather ignored him, thinking what the woman had said just before, even if his friend cursed at him. After that, he met other friends, but he ignored all of them and just passed by. The moment he arrived at the river again, there was a bridge that was not there before. At that moment, he saw his daughter, who had died of fever when she was young, standing in front of the bridge. He could not ignore his daughter. So he approached, and she stretched out her hand as if she wanted him to hold it for her. As soon as he was about to hold that hand, something pulled on his legs. When he looked down, he saw a white dog that had been raised by him a long time ago was biting his pants and dragging frantically as if he should not hold that hand. It's like he was telling him to cross the bridge immediately. He stepped back from his daughter quickly, and that was the moment when she suddenly rushed to him. Her mouth almost ripped to the ear, and she repeated like this, "I'm going to catch you. I'm going to take you." She was running toward him with a rope in her hand, and it was horrifying. He started to run toward the bridge, and the dog was barking at the ghost and guarded behind him. As soon as he crossed the bridge, that thing vanished with loud crying, and the dog was still barking as if he was telling him to hurry. He looked back when he was far away from the bridge, and then realized that the river, the bridge, the neighborhood, and the dog were all gone. The surrounding area was as white as a sheet. It was the moment when he finally opened his eyes, and he found himself lying in his bed. Grandfather also told this story to his local friends, and the oldest man told him a story that had been told by a shaman. There's a ghost that brings the dead who met with violent death, and he suggested that the ghost that Grandfather saw seemed to be that kind of type. If ghosts lack a place to live in the afterlife, they would take the dead to build a new house. Anyway, after that, my grandfather lived really well for the rest of the 3 years, as the woman in the dream had said, and then he passed away while taking a nap on the same day he first died, 3 years ago. After that, I kept recalling my grandfather's lonely face while he told me a story at that time. My grandfather was not the type who originally believed in ghosts. While he was alive, he always cut the weeds around the grave and brought some drinks and snacks for the grave's owners whenever he saw the ownerless graves around his town. This, of course, is just my grandfather's very personal experience, so it's okay to think of it as just a novelty story, because he told me exactly the same thing. I guess he absolutely went to heaven, but I just miss my grandfather.
I live in Limburg. That is the most southern province of the Netherlands. I'm 20 years old, and all my life I've been wanting to work as a caretaker for people with a disability. Just a few months ago, my dream came true, and now I work as a full-time caretaker at a living facility in Maastricht. At this facility, my story takes place. The living facility is positioned just outside of Maastricht City. Before the building became a housing facility, it was a laundromat for the people living on that street. The facility consists of 3 houses that are internally connected. Each one can house 8 people. That makes a total of 24 patients that live in the facility. Each patient has his or her own room, ranging from small to large to a separate bathroom and kitchen to a shared bathroom in the hallway. I first began working at this facility when I was just 17 years old, as an intern for my education. The story starts 2 years ago, when one of my patients that had lived there for 3 years moved out to live at another facility. His family claimed that the patient did not feel safe in his room, because he would hear knocking coming from his closet. We made our apologies for the inconvenience, but didn't think much of it. 1 month later, when the room was cleaned and disinfected, a new patient came to live in the empty room. It was an elderly man, who I'll just refer to as Rick. Rick was a warm and kind-hearted man, who always loved talking about horses that he had as a child, as well as his great love for Russian opera. You'd always catch him sneaking into the kitchen to get a snack or hear him sing opera. I must admit, he had quite a powerful and wonderful voice. At first, he would bid us a good night before he went to bed. But as time went by, Rick seemed more and more distressed. He didn't eat and didn't drink as much as he used to, and he lost weight at a troubling rate. He would sit quietly on the couch, staring blankly at nothing. When asked what was wrong, he would say that he had a terrible nightmare of some kind of creature lurking in his closet. My colleagues and I debated whether or not he could be getting Alzheimer's and would need testing for it. He had been tested, but nothing came out of those tests. Every night, Rick would scream us awake, and when we came into the room, he'd be sitting on his bed, trembling and pointing at the closet. He'd say that something crawled out of the closet and joined him in his bed. He described this creature as being skinny, even bony, with rotting meat hanging from its bones. The creature had green eyes, the same color as his deceased mother, and huge fingers that ended in claws. The creature's face was that of a human skull, those green eyes being nothing more than small lights, and a mouth that was filled with sharp teeth, like a crocodile. The creature would lie next to him in his bed, wrapping its claws around his body. Rick described so vividly how he could smell the horrible scent of decay as the creature opened his mouth to whisper in his ear, "Get out! This is not your home." Rick would cover his ears as he said that, and he would soil himself. Poor Rick. My colleague checked the closet, but there was nothing there, and the only thing we could say was that everything was going to be fine. Fast forward about a month later, and Rick would wake up with markings all over his body, deep scratches that appeared to be claw marks. There were even bite marks that were deeper and more animalistic than any human bite. Rick would not want to go into his room anymore, and he would bring his dinner to his room and place it at the door of his closet. My colleagues would take the food away, much to Rick's horror. He'd say that we would make the creature angry, and if it was angry, it would punish him. I feel so sorry for him, especially seeing the fear in his eyes as we scolded him and took away the plate. There was 2 weeks of this, the same thing happening with Rick. One of my closest colleagues and I were working the night shift one night. We were making our usual rounds, checking if everyone was sleeping and all the machinery was still up and running. That was when we heard a horrible, bone-chilling scream echo through the building. The scream came from Rick's room. We stormed in, throwing the door open hard, revealing a horrible sight. Rick was lying on his back in his bed, while he was grasping for air. He was clawing at his neck and chest, ripping the flesh off, making bloody gashes all over his upper body. His bed and himself were covered in blood, and there was a trace of blood leading to his closet, which was now slightly opened. My colleagues dialed 112. That's the emergency line in the Netherlands. While I desperately tried to stop Rick from clawing, the only thing Rick did was scream, as if possessed, and stared at the ceiling. After what seemed like forever, the ambulance came and took Rick away. A week later, we received the sad news that Rick had died. The room once again was left empty. The blood was cleaned up by a cleaning company and the room would be occupied soon enough. But even before the room was occupied, I found another patient standing in the room in front of that closet. "Hey, what are you doing in here?" I asked her as I walked into the room. The patient had stared at me and had muttered,
"This room should not be occupied ever again. It is angering him."
"Who's him?" I asked with a shaky voice.
you know what I mean. The devil lived in the closet.
After she said that, she walked out of the room and left me breathless. 2 weeks later, that same patient moved into the room. I don't know why she was placed in that room, but I do know that she too changed. She can't remember her own name now, and all she does is sit in front of that closet, talking to the devil. I don't know what's going on at my work, but strange things keep happening. Colleagues tell stories of hearing footsteps in the hallways. Others hear whispers in the garden, and one even claimed to have been attacked by a shadow demon. Whatever's going on, one thing is for sure. The creature in the closet is real, and he's not happy about our patient living in his room.
Back in the 70s, when I was a teenager, I had a girlfriend named Daisy who was a neighborhood babysitter. Everyone on my block used her to watch their kids when they would go out. There was no need for her to have a regular job, because she made good money babysitting. I would usually stop by after the kids went to sleep, and hang out with her until the parents got back, where I'd quietly make my exit and wait for her outside to walk her home. I remember that this was a couple of days after Halloween 1977. I'll never forget that year's Halloween, because that was the night I was clipped by a drunk driver while I was riding my bike. The guy ended up going to jail, but that's another story. The point is, I would not be visiting Daisy that night because of my broken arm and fractured rib, but she said that she would call me after the kids went to sleep. So I spent the evening in my living room watching television, waiting for Daisy to call me. I would say it was around 8:30 when the phone rang. Hello.
Hey, it's me.
What's up, babe? Did the little rascal finally pass out?
Yeah. Mrs. Clark let him eat all of his leftover candy before I got here, and he was bouncing off the walls for a while.
Sounds like fun.
Totally. But it's pretty funny to see little Dennis when he's all hyper. He talks so fast that it sounds like he's speaking another language.
Is that so?
Yeah. But anyway, how's your arm?
It still sucks. It is like crazy. And when I try to scratch at it, I end up moving it. And that's when I feel the pain come back.
Ooh, jeez.
Yeah, tell me about it. I'm just grateful it's my left arm, and that my dad does a really bad job at hiding his dirty magazines.
Oh, shut up, you perv.
So, what are you wearing?
I'm not answering that. Use your imagination.
Be careful what you wish for. I might just...
Shh. I think I heard something outside.
Very funny, Daisy.
No, I'm serious. I think I just heard someone walking around outside.
I could tell by the sound of her voice, Daisy was a little creeped out. Maybe the Clarks are home?
No, they said they wouldn't be back until 9 a.m. tomorrow. I'm staying the night here.
Okay, don't freak out. Maybe it's just a stray cat or something.
It didn't sound like a cat. Just stay on the phone with me while I go check it out.
Okay. A couple of seconds went by, and the next thing I heard was the sound of glass shattering followed by Daisy screaming at the top of her lungs. And the line went dead. I quickly got up, left my house, and made my way over to the Clark's residence as quickly as I could. They lived at the very end of the block, so it took me about 5 minutes to get there. When I arrived, the front door was open, and I could see Daisy lying face down on the living room floor in a pool of blood. I quickly got to her and turned her over with my good arm. She had been stabbed in the chest. At first, I thought Daisy was dead, but I soon realized she was just unconscious. I applied pressure to her wound and looked behind me to see that Dennis was by the stairs. He had a look of absolute terror on his face. Dennis, buddy, I need you to call the police. Tell them that someone broke in and attacked Daisy. I actually knew Dennis very well. My dad and his dad were very good friends. So Dennis wasn't afraid of me, and he also wasn't a complete moron like most kids on my block. He did what he was told. While I was trying to stop the bleeding, I happened to see that one of the large living room windows had been completely shattered. That was where the attacker must have entered, and then left through the front door. The police and ambulance showed up a few minutes later, and Daisy was rushed to the emergency room. The police contacted the Clarks to explain the situation, and Dennis ended up staying at my house until they got back. When Daisy finally came to, she was hysterical and could not tell the police any details about her attacker. It was completely random. Nothing like this had ever happened in my neighborhood before. This incident pretty much destroyed our entire community. Nobody trusted anyone after this. A rumor even started that I was the one who attacked Daisy that night. Unfortunately, Daisy ended up suffering from mental complications brought on by the trauma of this event. Our relationship fell apart, and she moved away a year later. I'm sad to say that she developed a drug addiction, which led to her taking her own life in 1983. The police never found out who the intruder was or what his motives were. Nothing from the house had been taken. It's truly a shame that they never caught the person. Because of their actions, they destroyed a wonderful community. And I can't imagine the anguish that Daisy's parents went through watching their daughter turn from a happy, normal girl into an emotional wreck. It's sad, but this is the world we live in. I don't advocate that you live your life in fear. That's not healthy. But be aware that there are people out there who are just pure evil. And sometimes, they don't have a reason for doing the horrible things they do.
Back when we moved into our house, we were introduced to all of our neighbors by them coming to our house with cookies or brownies, kind of like they do in the movies. This was a nice, quiet, middle-class neighborhood, made up of mostly older white people and new families. I mention that because we were the only black family in the neighborhood. No black wives, husbands, not even adopted children. We didn't really find it strange, though. It was just very clear that we were different. I was about 13 years old at the time, and my brother was 15. Our backyard was about a half an acre and is fenced, but it's also connected to two other houses' backyards. Each one is about half the size of ours, but we all have separating fences. So to paint a picture, there's a T-shaped fence separating our backyards. The house to the left was the home of an older man named Tom. He kind of reminded me of Willie Nelson, but without the cool pigtails. He liked to be outside shirtless and usually with a denim vest, no matter what the weather was. He was a pretty well-built man, but visibly kind of frail. We actually found him to be quite funny, in a creepy old guy type of way. As I got older, he had started to make comments. I played in the backyard with my dogs a lot, and Tom could see me in his living room window that faced his backyard. Whenever I glanced over, I could always see him in the window, just standing there watching me. When he noticed that I saw him, he'd come out and talk to me. I would try to get away before he would come out, but sometimes I was just too slow. I didn't want to make it too obvious, so I would just walk. But if I didn't make it inside, he'd yell for me to come back. I never got too close to the fence, though. I'd speak from a distance. He would ask me about school, what grade I was in, tell me I was pretty, and ask if I was old enough to have a boyfriend. Also, if I had an older sister or older friends that looked like me. It was pretty weird, but I'd just laugh it off. But after a few questions, he'd stop talking to me and just stare at me, silently. I would always give an excuse about needing to go inside, and he would nod and stand at the fence and just watch me walk back into the house. This kind of thing happened almost weekly. My mom really loves to decorate, so she changes the house decor every few months or so. It's pretty annoying, actually. During one of her designing sprees, she had decided to get a new sliding glass door for the back porch, which required her to take the curtains down in the living room. It took forever to get them installed, but she figured that there was no point in putting the curtains back up if we'd have to take them back down again. Fine, I guess. Now, our family TV was in the living room. I didn't have a TV in my room, so I'd often watch TV late into the night in the living room with my brother. One night my brother went to bed pretty early, so I decided to watch TV by myself that night. Right around midnight or so, I had turned off the TV so I could go to bed. I got up from the couch, turned off the light, and then turned around to see another light on. Not in my house, but in Tom's house. It was in his living room, and he was there, just standing in the window watching me. I later told my parents about it, but they just shrugged it off. I'm a pretty anxious soul, so I often just chalk things up to my anxiety. Fine. Not too long afterwards, though, my dogs had started to get sick. I would take them out to play and they'd start throwing up or have diarrhea. We knew that it wasn't their food because we didn't give them anything new. We also threw away the dog treats that we recently bought just in case that was the problem, but it didn't stop. I had started to notice that every time I let them out alone, they'd always run straight over to Tom's fence, jumping up and down and wagging their tails. He would slowly walk outside, reach over the fence, and then feed them his treats, which was really odd because Tom didn't even have a dog. I told my parents, and my dad went to talk to him, telling him the dogs were getting sick. Tom had apologized, and he had also stopped feeding them, and they got better. A few weeks later, I was coming home from school. My brother was in the grade above me, and I was a senior, so he was in college at the time. Whenever I got home, no one else would be home for a few more hours. I had a routine. I would put my book bag downstairs, then change clothes, let the dogs out of their cages on the porch, get a snack, and then let them back in. For some strange reason, I was just unusually excited to see my dogs that day. So instead of going upstairs, I went straight to the back porch. I had got to the door to open it, and I then saw Tom just sitting on the ground right in front of the dogs' cages. I froze. He didn't see me, though. I looked over to see if the door was locked, but it wasn't. I began to lock it as slowly as possible so it didn't make a noise, but it did. Tom then looked over and he saw me standing there. I ran upstairs to go call my parents. My mom's a nurse, so she didn't have her phone on. And my dad, well, my dad just never answered the phone. I didn't really think that it was serious enough to call the police, so instead I just hid. After about a moment though, I had then heard Tom knock on the door. It wasn't loud or aggressive though. It was almost like friendly, like he just wanted to talk. I tried my dad's phone yet again and he then answered. I was crying hysterically and I had then told him that Tom was on the porch. He said he'd head home but he was about an hour away. I just sat in my room, just waiting for my dad. The knocking stopped. All I remember was that my dad got home and Tom was gone. I don't really know what happened between Tom and my dad, but he did stop coming outside and talking to me. He never did stop watching, though. Always standing in his living room. Sometimes I'd see him through the window and he would wave at me, but always with the light on, just so I knew that he was still there. It was pretty creepy.
I grew up in what people would consider a bad household. My mom and dad were in a bad relationship, and they did nothing but argue every day. My mom would complain that my dad would stick in the basement almost every day and never spend any time with me. And my dad would always have the same response, that he's doing research down there. The only problem was that we were prohibited from going down to the basement. Three locks were built into the basement door. Andy kept his one key on his old key ring. The key had a torn blue sticker at the bottom of it with a brown rusty tip. However, my mom finally got a hold of it somehow. And that same day when I came home from school, Dad suddenly told me she left us for another man. He seemed truly broken and sunk in his misery. So I tried acting, pretending to be normal at first. But I couldn't stop crying like a baby when I finally got back in my room. After a few months of emotional breakdowns, my dad finally got over it. Furthermore, he started to visit the basement more consistently to the point where I would feel like I lived alone. I kept thinking my dad was working very hard, since I saw him being very distraught after coming upstairs from the basement. I thought everything was fine, until I started hearing noises at night. They weren't just regular noises. It was kind of someone's crying and scream of agony. But the most disturbing sound of all was the sound of growling, like some kind of beast would exist down in the basement. The next morning, I complained to my dad, but he acted like he had no idea what I was talking about as he walked past me to get ready for work. So I just shook it off, assuming that he was watching some horror movie down there, if I was just imagining the whole thing. I went back to my room. As it was the weekend, I was ready to catch up on some Saturday morning cartoons. I turned on my TV, and as I got ready to change the channel, I heard a familiar name. The news reporter was naming over 40 missing people in our town, and my mom was one of those names as they briefly showed her picture and information. I was confused about who would file a missing person report for her, because my grandparents both died in a tragic car accident years ago. She had no siblings, and my dad told me she left us for another man. I wanted to inform my dad, but soon I was concerned it would make him depressed again. And in a way, I was still angry at her for leaving us. So I ignored it and changed the channel. A few minutes later, my dad came in to tell me he was leaving for work. He gave me a kiss on my forehead and informed me that he'd be back later that night. After he left, I invited my best friend Austin to come over. He then arrived shortly after and we played a game on my PlayStation. As we were about to plunge into the game, we suddenly heard a strange noise coming from the basement. "What was that?" Austin asked, being confused. "I don't know. My dad does some kinds of experiments down there. It's probably a rat or something." Austin looked amused. "No, dude, we can't go down there. My dad said so," I said quickly, bringing an end to Austin's excitement. It has no reason to doubt that Austin was disappointed. Then he asked for something to drink, so I went to the kitchen to get some juice for him. However, I was hit with a foul odor of something rotting as soon as I arrived in the kitchen. I looked around to see what could be the cause of the smell, and I found that the basement door was cracked open. I went to close it, but the curiosity got the best of me. So I called Austin to help me investigate. We darted down the stairs to the basement, clenching our noses at that horrible smell. It was dark until Austin found a light switch and quickly flicked it on. However, we had to regret our decision instantly after we saw the inside of the basement. There were people hanging from hooks with random limbs missing. As we were standing in horror, Austin clenched my shirt strongly. I could see the piles of feces and human remains contained within certain sections of the room. But the most disturbing and disgusting sight of all was the cage in the dark right corner of the room. The inside of it seemed to be a person sleeping at first, but as it looked up, I quickly realized that thing was not a person.
What is that?
Austin shouted, shaking with fear. I ignored his question. To be more specific, I couldn't answer. That thing was indescribably frightening. It looked like a deformed human with its mouth filled with crooked and ragged teeth covering a majority of its face. Its face pointed outward, with creases where the nose should be. The eyes were bulging out of its head as it fixated its glance toward Austin and me. "Food," it said to us slowly with excitement and a malicious voice. Then it started clawing at the iron bars of the cage with its needle-like hands. I sat there in horror until Austin grabbed my wrist. We ran up the stairs scrambling for the escape and shut the door. After I made sure it was perfectly locked, I saw Austin sitting on the carpet floor with his knees to his chest. Once we had a few moments of silence, I then finally realized what really happened to my mom and those missing people in our town. At that instant, Austin muttered like this,
"Your dad, he was feeding those people to that thing. Now, what should I do now?"
It was one night. I was drinking out with my two friends when we left the bar after drinking and chattering for a long time. The last bus had left already. "Well, I guess we have to stay a night somewhere," one of my friends told me, and we had no choice but to stop at the motel and sleep together. We lay side by side in bed, and it was about 2 hours after that everyone became quiet. The one who was sleeping in the middle suddenly woke me up with a frightened face. "Hey, let's get out of here right now," she said. "What? We just lie down," I grumbled. But she said this again and again in haste. "Please, let's go. I'll tell you the reason later. If you want to stay here, then I'll leave alone." I felt something uneasy about her reaction, so I woke up and shook another friend's shoulder lying next to me. But he didn't wake up no matter how many times I woke him up. Since we were all drunk and couldn't communicate properly with each other, I finally decided to go back with her first, leaving him in the motel. While I was just killing my time at a convenience store nearby until the time of the first bus, my cell phone suddenly rang. It was a phone call from him who was at the motel. Wasn't he sleeping? Thinking like that, I answered the phone and he screamed at once. "Why did you guys leave me alone in that room?" "Oh no, he must have seen it too," she muttered blankly. Later, my friend said that they saw something in the room. As one of my friends felt thirsty during sleeping, she woke up and went to the refrigerator to get some water. And at that moment, a woman with long hair suddenly appeared from the ceiling, hanging upside down. Her face was covered with blood. She heard a voice from her that seemed to appeal to something, but she couldn't understand what it meant. Her body was so stiff that she couldn't move, as if she had been paralyzed. However, the moment she turned her eyes, the woman disappeared, and she was finally able to move again. Early that day, I joined with my boyfriend and went home right away, but I couldn't get rid of my uncomfortable feeling, and I couldn't get over it until the next day around noon. So we ended up heading back to the motel to complain to the custodian. However, the police and police cars were crowded around the hotel when we got there. We found the custodian in front of the hotel entrance and approached him. "What's going on here? Anyway, I'd like to tell you that we are very upset and unpleasant that we'd seen something here yesterday." While I was explaining about this, his gloomy face was slowly contorted, and he slowly opened his mouth when I finished talking. "There was a woman who was killed last night in another room after being hit on the head by a baseball bat. The room where she died was the one right above where we were asleep yesterday, and my friend saw a woman's ghost in the ceiling almost at the same time as the woman was killed." The moment we heard the story, we got goosebumps and came back home hurriedly. The moment she died, she might have wanted to show up to ask us for help desperately. That's what I think to this day.
Back in 2016, my friend Lachlan and I thought about doing the best prank ever. It's the ghost girl walking through the streets prank. I went to some Halloween store where they sell the white dress that's the perfect fit for Lachlan. Then I got some red paint for fake blood for the white dress and a long wig for covering Lachlan's face. After buying the stuff, I went home to set it up. Lachlan tried on the whole costume, and I thought it was pretty scary. Scary enough to scare my friends, at least. These other two friends are Jesse and Gavin. Now it was time to set the plan into motion. I called the two of them and told them to meet each other in the car. Then come pick me up so we could drive around that night, around 10 p.m. They agreed and hung up. It was 8 p.m. at the time. The perfect time, in fact, to take Lachlan in his costume to the scary bridge that no one drives through anymore. It took us about half an hour to get there. I dropped Lachlan off on the scary bridge, telling him, "When you see the light of their car, walk all creepy like a ghost girl. See you when we're done." I drove back to the house and waited until 10. Soon Jesse and Gavin arrived, and I hopped in their car. I asked Jesse, who was driving, "Hey man, can I drive tonight?" He replied, "Sure, why not?" He let me in the driver's seat, and we took off. Now this is where the fun begins. I make my way to the same street where I drove to drop Lachlan off on the scary bridge. But things get weird here. I must have driven about 20 minutes when I saw Lachlan walking on the road. He wasn't on the bridge, but the road. All Jesse and Gavin saw was a creepy, ghost-looking girl walking on the road. They were practically begging me to drive away now. I told them, "Wait, I need to text Lachlan about this." I texted him, "Hey, dude, why are you 10 minutes away from the bridge and walking on the road?" A few seconds later, Lachlan texted back. He said,
"What do you mean? I'm at the bridge waiting for y'all. Where are you anyway?"
My heart sank when I read that. Quickly, I texted back, "Wait there, I'm picking you up. We're not doing this anymore." So, Lachlan was 10 minutes away. Who was in this costume? What are the odds that it's another prankster in the same outfit? Jesse and Gavin were still begging me to go back. I told them, "We need to go past this prankster." Jesse shouted, "No way!" I ignored him, and I began to drive past whoever was in the same costume. I drove slowly and steadily. When I passed the person, I got a glimpse of their face. I couldn't breathe. What I saw was either the most realistic-looking makeup, or that was not a costume. I drove faster now, knowing that I had to pick Lachlan up, but tempted to just drive away. 10 minutes later, I made it to the bridge where Lachlan was waiting. He was just sitting on a rock waiting for me. I honked at him and he came in. Lachlan asked me what was going on. Now everyone needed an answer. I told Lachlan what happened, and I told Jesse and Gavin about the prank we had planned. It was supposed to be a prank for you guys, but it was interrupted. I began to drive back, dreadfully knowing we'd have to pass the same stretch of road where we saw that girl. But 10 minutes later, when we should have been seeing her, she wasn't there. But I wasn't going to ask why. I just wanted to get home safely. 20 minutes after that, we got back home okay. We all talked about what happened. After the conversation, Jesse and Gavin headed home. Lachlan stayed the night, which was probably for the better, because what we saw that night made me lose sleep and terrified me for months.
This incident happened when I was around 10 years old. I lived in a small village. There were about 100 people in the town, and there was a lady who used to live next door. She was a very kind person. She used to bake cookies to give us, bring flowers sometimes. I mean, everybody in the town loved her. Until one day, she went missing. All the neighbors tried to look for her. We even reported to the police to make a search for her, but she was never found anywhere after that. She had been missing for years, and there had been rumors around the town that she had committed suicide. However, I didn't believe those rumors, because I knew that she would never do such a thing. A few years later, I became 16, and I was playing with my friends one day. We found that there was a storage container while we were hanging around the town. To be specific, it had been there since I was 10, but I never wanted to open it since it stank of something rotten so badly. "Hey, can you open that door?" One of my friends started to tease me, and as a stupid teenager, I didn't want to be a loser, so I decided my mind. It was really hard to open when I grabbed the door, but I tried strongly. And when the door had opened, what I found at that moment still creeps me out to this day. There she was. The blood was spread in all directions. She had no eyeballs. All the organs were empty, and the maggots were crawling on her body everywhere. It was literally awful. Smelling inside stench, I cried and called my parents, and they immediately called the police. After that, the police started a huge investigation again, and they eventually detected who it was. Turned out, it was a man who was living in our village. The police told my parents that she was murdered that night when all the neighbors tried to find her. I'm glad the criminal was arrested finally, but I still can't stop thinking about her death to this day. I feel sorry for her. I hope she can rest in peace. One evening, I got hungry on my way home, so I found a restaurant nearby. I can't remember the detail of the restaurant's name exactly. It was some kind of a weird word like an old man mispronounced, something like that. When I went inside, I could see a table with glass on top of green felt, a strange tiger frame made of a hooked needle kid, and the fishbowl, which was encrusted with yellow slime. There were no guests at all. The damp smell of the subway hit my nose, and the inside was just dark with only dimly yellow light. It seemed a bit weird, but then I caught someone's eye that seemed like the owner of the restaurant, so I just sat down. He came up to me and handed me the menu. When I opened it, there was a flash on the photos everywhere, as if it were just taken before the car accident. And the whole time I watched them, I felt that my appetite was decreasing. Unless I had deluded myself, the menu was all consist of French fine cuisine, such as foie gras. However, the name of the menu had many typos, and the calligraphic style was so countrified, it was a total mess. Well, I guess I came in the wrong place. Let's just finish the food and get out quickly. Thinking this, I raised my hand to order something, but he just stared at me. About a few seconds later, he approached me again, but the way of his tone was kind of odd. May I have your order, sir? With a strangely bright voice, he went inside, but I could not hear any cooking sound for more than 10 minutes. The quiet inside gave me the chills, and at that moment, I could feel that someone was watching me. When I turned around, the owner, who thought he had gone in to cook, was sitting on the back chair and staring at me. I asked him with a puzzled look, is there someone in there to cook? Maybe he's warming it up, right? However, he was just smiling, staring at me without saying any words. A few minutes later, I felt burdened by his gaze suddenly, so I just left the store. Come to think of it, I came out because he didn't start any cooking. But anyhow, I didn't feel good for some reason at that time. Just in case he would come after me with a smile on his face, I closed the door and ran away from the restaurant with all my strength. I know that it wasn't that scary, but it was the most uncomfortable place in my whole life. The atmosphere of the restaurant and the owner, everything was strange.
I am a truck driver. I work for a certain water company that is located in Michigan. The route that I drive for this company takes me as far as the Upper Peninsula, down to central Michigan. To give an idea of where this creepy experience took place, I was near Roscommon County. This was way back in late January, when the night would come as quickly as 5 p.m. I was driving down a rural highway around 8 p.m., and a snowstorm was picking up. As I was cruising down the highway, my truck began to sputter and shake. With a sigh, I pulled off to the side of the road, turned on my hazard lights, and put the vehicle in park. I've been dealing with this all day because of a coolant leak in the heater core. I have to fill up the coolant reservoir, which takes about 5 minutes. Dressed in nothing more but my regular clothes and a baseball cap, I exit my truck, and I enter the snowy January night. I unlatched my hood and pulled it up. The sound of it opening was the only sound to be heard. It was very quiet out there at the time, except for some blowing wind. The night was overcast and very dark due to the storm. My only light was from the hazards on the truck and a small flashlight in my mouth. The thick line of woods is about 100 feet away from each side of the road. And as I began to fill up the coolant reservoir, I heard some rustling in the undergrowth about 150 to 200 feet deeper in the woods. I thought nothing of it due to the fact that deer are common even during winter. But the strangest thing was the rustling was quite loud, like a lot louder than animals would usually be. I mean, the wind was blowing decently hard, but I could still hear the rustling in the woods. I was wondering what could be so loud when I heard a loud crack and a soft thud. Now this noise really got my attention. It didn't sound like a deer anymore. It sounded more like a person stumbling around. Humans are very loud in the woods, and no animal would purposely make a noise to give itself away like that, especially that loud. Yes, there were bears, but it wasn't a big concern for me in that area. Now, a real concern I had was that the last house I saw was about 10 miles away, and no cars had passed me by yet, and somehow there was some dude walking around out there in the woods in the middle of a snowstorm. Still cautious of the guy walking around, I finished refilling the reservoir. I locked the hood down and began to enter the truck. Before exiting the truck, I had the windows down. I kept them down due to the fact I could still hear the guy out there. Then, as soon as the crashing around the forest started, it just as quickly stopped. That put me on edge. I turned the key in the ignition. A loud beep resounded from the truck dash, therefore allowing me to turn it on. The truck roared to life, and I started to pull back onto the road to continue driving. As soon as my truck started rolling, I heard the crashing start up again, but at a loud and quickened pace. By the sound of it, whatever it was seemed to be making a line straight for the truck. I thought this guy was dumb or something, but it still freaked me out. So I pushed the truck to go faster. With the hazard light still on, I could see the outer edges of the semi. And then I saw them. There was a person running near the rear passenger side of the trailer. The creepy part about it was that I was traveling at about 15 miles per hour and pushing it, still climbing, and the guy was fast enough to keep up, and he was closing the distance to my cab. Now, with a cold sweat, I pushed the truck into a higher gear, and the engine roared louder. I was pushing 25 miles per hour, and this guy was almost to the cab, when all of a sudden he just disappeared. It seemed he was so focused on catching up with the truck that he failed to notice and hit the guardrail on the side of the road. Though it still freaked me out, I continued traveling down the road, ignoring the speed limits until I got to the hotel I would be staying at. That was just one of the creepiest moments on the road.
This is the story about an incident where my friend was almost killed by a stranger. So this was around February. I was heading home after hanging out with my best friend as usual. We had to walk maybe 20 to 30 minutes to reach each other's houses. There was a two-way road with a Y shape in the neighborhood, and I had to go left and my friend had to go right. All of a sudden, my friend called me 2 or 3 minutes after we had separated. But when I answered the phone, I could only hear him breathing and walking around. At first, I hung up and started walking again, wondering if my friend accidentally called me, but he instantly called me again. This time, he started to talk, making a joke that wasn't very funny, and started laughing to himself. What is wrong with him? Is he really crazy, or did something happen to him? Thinking like this, I told him to text me. I couldn't figure out what was going on. A few minutes later, I received a text message. Dude, someone's following me. And he's singing alone, breathing hard, and his lyrics make me go crazy. Seriously. I replied, asking what the lyrics were, and another response came a bit later. Wait. Wait for me. Wait, 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 wait. Stop at the right spot before you get home, because I'm going to kill you. I won't get caught. Come on, turn around before you get home. It won't hurt, because I'm going to stab you with my knife. It was a very long text, written roughly like this. The lyrics were the same as the popular song at the time, but only that part of the lyrics was different. So I just called the police right away. Yes, just go straight ahead in front of the alley. Please, come quickly. In fact, both the right and left roads were alleys, and there was a row of fancy buildings around the place. So I didn't know where exactly my friend was. I began to worry as I was walking for a while, because I kept thinking about the text messages from my friend. Soon, I heard the police car from far away, and it was getting closer. I texted again to reassure him. Hey, I just called the police to see if you are okay. So don't worry, they're coming. I could see the car lights getting closer behind me. I thought the car was going to pass the road I was on, so I tried to move aside, but at that moment, I got a reply from my friend. Dude, are you sure they are coming? I heard the siren too, but... I froze. The police car came into the alley where I was standing. I went to the officer who was in the car and spoke to him. Excuse me, sir. I'm the one who called. And you should have gone the other way, not this way. I told you, it's on the right side. The police then said, I'm sorry. We have so many cases to deal with. I'll go back to the opposite side. Then he drove the other way. Are they kidding? The police just headed towards you. Is he still singing? I soon got a reply to my text. Yeah, but you know what? The lyrics have changed. Then he wrote down the lyrics again, and they were like this. Don't. 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 Don't text. Don't call. Don't do it. Put down the phone you're holding right now. I'll stab you. Don't worry. It won't hurt you. Read the text that just came in right now. If it's the one you met earlier, I'd stab him too. I thought this was going to be a big, big problem, and that my friend might die. I ran home quickly. I threw my bag to the side after arriving home, called my parents in a hurry, and we headed to my friend's house. My parents and his parents incidentally went to the same place from elementary school to high school, so they got along well. I was running to my friend's house with my parents, but suddenly I started hearing the sound of a police car again. As we were walking toward the direction where my friend was supposed to be, I heard some noise, and he was standing there in front of me. Recalling the creepy moment a while ago, I thought I might cry as soon as I saw my friend. I hugged my friend and asked, "What happened to him? What happened to you?" My friend said the man who was following him was now handcuffed and in a police car. The moment I looked at the man, I got goosebumps. The man. He was staring and grinning from his ear to ear. And the next thing that happened was he was taken to the police station, and we headed to the same place. When we arrived, my friend and I explained everything we had seen and heard from the guy. And the police decided to make him guilty due to the fact that he threatened my friend. I could see my parents, and my friend's parents got mad at him. By the way, it was the first time I knew my mother was really good at cursing at someone. Then the police told us that we could go now. After we got out, we decided to go to a nearby restaurant to eat and calm ourselves down. It might seem like nothing to y'all, but I was still nervous at the thought that if I had been a little bit late, he would have been in really big trouble. Since then, my friend moved to a house next to ours, and now we're always together, like when going to school or coming home from school. I think that horrible incident happened to him because we went home too late that day, and because he was alone. So, nowadays, we always go home early. After the incident, our bond and friendship became much stronger. And most of all, it was fortunate that my friend was not hurt at all that day. I wonder what the man who threatened my friend is doing now. I hope this never happens again.
When I was about 14 years old, my dad and I took a road trip to Nevada to visit my uncle. It was already dark outside. As we were driving along this dark road, the car suddenly stopped, which I thought that's kind of weird because we had filled up our car's gas tank full just a couple of minutes ago. My dad got out of the car to check what was wrong with it. As he was trying to check the problem, I then suddenly heard running footsteps behind me. I turned around, but there was nothing. In fact, I couldn't see it at all because of the darkness. Maybe I just misheard it. Thinking like this, when I shrugged it off and the car suddenly rumbled, and I knew that meant it was turning back on. "Well, I see a gas station up ahead. Let's stop there," my dad said, as I went back to listen to my music. When we made to the gas station, he asked me to go pay for the gas and get some snacks that I want. I agreed and stepped out of the car with a few bucks. However, when I got off, I could feel that it was quiet around. It was pretty weird, but we were in the middle of the road now, so I guess it was not that weird thing. So I entered the building and went up to the counter. There was a man behind it staring at me as I approached him. At first, he looked like he was shocked to see me a little bit, like I interrupted or bothered him for some reason, and soon I could realize that his appearance looked kind of scary. He was a totally skinny man with black hair and worn-out clothing. He didn't say any welcome greetings like those common sentences, hello or how's your day. He just stared at me with his big, beady eyes. I picked up some snacks, put the money under the slit, and just waited for him to take it. Then he started laughing at me. "Hey, kid, you know what? I'm not the one who works here." I didn't understand what he's talking about now. I slowly took a look behind the counter, and then I saw a body lying there. What the heck? What is it? I was absolutely in shock, and I was positive that he must have noticed it because it was the exact moment when he stopped laughing. I screamed at the top of my lungs and started to run to my dad. He turned the corner of the counter and started to follow my back, which was lucky to me that I was much quicker than him. My dad saw me, but as he saw the man chasing after me, he couldn't ask what happened. And then we just both hopped in the car and locked the doors. The man banged on the driver's side door and yelled, "Let me in! I'm gonna kill you, little girl!" I burst out crying, and my dad told me to get in the back seat immediately. I jumped back there, and as I saw his knife in hand, I cried even harder. A loud banging sound from outside kept getting louder and louder. I hid under the seat, and after that, I blacked out. When I woke up again, I could see the police lights were everywhere. I got out of the car and asked quietly to my dad what happened, but he didn't notice me approaching and continued talking to the officer. Turns out the man had broken in the gas station and killed the employee just right before when my dad pulled up the car. He was on the loose from the police because he had committed multiple robberies and murders in the past, and he was the one who ran behind the car to the gas station, which I didn't see at that time. After that, we ended up making it to my uncle's, but I never went on long road trips again. I would always take airplanes. A couple of years after I finished my junior year, I found out the man had been killed in prison. I don't know the reason, but I don't feel sorry for him at all. Well, now I'm 25 years old, and I still thank my dad every day for saving my life. But I also wonder what would have happened if I couldn't run fast or if my dad wasn't there at the time. Harvey, my unfriendly roommate. This takes place in my old house where I used to live with my mom and older sister. From a very young age, I started believing in ghosts and paranormal beings because of our roommate, which we used to call Harvey. Harvey wasn't a human being, even an animal, either. It's a strange entity that you couldn't see. I'm not sure if he's a ghost or a demon. All I know is that he's definitely not a human. When Harvey started appearing, he seemed harmless because all he did was just playing pranks, such as turning lights randomly on and off around the house or slamming doors. And next, it was on my 6th birthday. I got a lot of presents, and my grandma gave me a helium balloon with a princess on it. It just sat in a corner of our living room for a few days. It was almost completely deflated, but still hovering about 3 inches off the ground. Then Harvey started to grab the balloon and bring it everywhere in the house with him.
If Harvey went into the basement or the bedrooms, we could notice that he was there because of the balloon. Because there was a balloon around him, we'd know that Harvey was following or watching at us. Of course, we were all pretty scared at first, but we eventually got used to it. Harvey seemed not to like that, so he started acting differently, like more scary things. One night I woke up because it felt like there was something heavy on my chest. I couldn't breathe, so when I opened my eyes to see what's going on, then I saw a figure sitting on my chest that looked like a little boy. He had wide eyes, and it was much bigger than any human's eye. I could see his frightening smile stretching from ear to ear, and I suddenly realized that he was holding the helium balloon in his right hand. My heart dropped at that moment. I definitely could say that it was Harvey. I screamed as loud as I could, but Harvey put his hands around my neck and started strangling me at the same time. I was overwhelmed with so much fear. I didn't understand what was happening. Then everything went black. When I woke up again, it was in the middle of the morning, and that was the last time I've ever seen Harvey in my house.
I'm not much of a storyteller, so bear with me. During the 90s, I went through a very rough time in my life. After a failed marriage, I became a bit of a nomad, wandering across country on foot with no particular destination. It was a stupid idea, but I was in a very hopeless place back then, and just looking to experience something new. I had been traveling down South Dakota and hitched a ride with a truck driver into Nebraska. For those of you who have never been to that state, there are large sections of land that go on for miles with nothing but cornfields lining either side of the road. We split ways at a rest stop, and I made my way into what I now know to be the Sand Hills of Nebraska. The Sand Hills region is one of the most isolated areas in the United States, 20,000 square miles of nothing but dunes and prairies. I planned on hitchhiking my way to the nearest town and catching a bus to visit a friend I had in Omaha. But I found out the hard way that this stretch of road was not ideal for hitchhiking. I barely saw any cars going down this road, and the ones that did completely ignored me. 12 hours had passed, and I was running low on food and water. I was utterly exhausted at this point, and I needed to find a place to rest for a while. I had about an hour left of daylight. Lucky for me, I happened to come upon an old farmhouse that was situated about a half mile away from the main road. From a distance, I thought this place may have been occupied, but when I got closer, it was clear to me that this house was abandoned. This was around the fall, so weather in Nebraska wasn't terrible. However, the nights were a bit on the cold side, so I decided to hold up in this house for the night and continue my journey the next day. I had enough supplies to last me one more night. The house was your typical rotting husk. Smelled like mold, severe water damage, creaking floors, etc. The living room seemed to be the only decent place to settle down at, so I unpacked my sleeping bag and eventually dozed off. I woke up to the sound of floorboards creaking. I immediately sat up and listened. I could hear several pairs of footsteps thudding all around the house. They were coming from upstairs, downstairs, on the back porch outside, and even in the same room with me. But I didn't see a thing. I quickly got to my feet and walked over to the nearest window and peered out. What I saw was truly alarming and sent a wave of nausea through my entire body. Several cloaked figures were standing side by side. They appeared to be encircling the house. Because of the footsteps I heard, I thought there may have been people in the house with me. So in an effort to defuse things, I made another big brain decision and spoke up.
Hello? I'm sorry if I'm trespassing. I was just looking for a place to rest for the night. I thought this place was abandoned. Again, I'm sorry.
All the footsteps stopped at once. An eerie silence followed. It was so quiet that I could have heard a mouse shitting in the corner. I got this real bad feeling in my gut, so I reached into my backpack and pulled out my hunting knife. I gathered the rest of my things and slowly moved out into the hallway. Aside from the mysterious figures outside, I was also thinking of what was making those footsteps inside the house. As I said, I heard several footsteps when I woke up, so I figured it wouldn't be long before I ran into someone inside the house. But after combing the entire downstairs, I didn't see or hear anything. I could tell something was very off. That bad feeling I mentioned earlier intensified, despite the fact that I knew there was a bunch of weirdos in cloaks waiting for me outside. Something told me that if I didn't leave the house that very moment, something terrible was going to happen to me. The house was located in a wide-open clearing. Beyond the clearing was a barrier of tall grass. When I left through the front door, I stopped directly in front of the house. No matter which direction I looked, I saw another hooded menace blocking my way. I suddenly felt this heat on my back. I quickly turned around. I cannot explain how this happened. Moments before, I was inside that house, walking around, and it was now on fire. I backed away. I decided that I was going to run through the figures and get the hell out of Dodge. But when I turned back around, the figures were nowhere in sight. Things were getting way too bizarre for me at that point. The only thing I knew for sure was that I had to get the fuck out of that place. When I got back out to the main road, I didn't stop walking until I finally got to a town, whose name I can't remember. The rest of my time in Nebraska went well, and I got my life together shortly after I got back home from my trip. As long as I live, I'll never forget that old farmhouse and those mysterious cloaked figures. This incident still baffles me to this day, but perhaps some things are best left unanswered.
Have you guys experienced this before? I can tell you that I'm a very normal person. However, I felt like I'm a psychopath when I was very young. Whenever I talk about this, it feels like I'm talking about someone else, but it's definitely my memory. Let me tell you some of my childhood memories. I'm going to start my first story lightly. My mom said that when I was young, I would often pick up a few worms from the ground, bring them home, and divide them into a few pieces with a shovel. Secondly, I dimly remember it, but after fighting with my sister, I always couldn't hold back my anger. So I used to walk around with a blade cutter to make a rattling sound, putting the blade up and down. My third story is, just when I learned walking around, I happily went to greet my second sister bringing a knife when she came home. That's what my mom said to me too. She said I especially liked knives when I was young, and I don't know why. The fourth story, one day my mom went to the bathroom to take a shower, leaving me alone in the living room. As I was a little child back then, I was watching TV, and there was a scene about a doctor who was doing surgery. And I guess I wanted to copy his motion with the same way. So I stabbed myself in the stomach with a knife a little bit. My mom came out of the bathroom at the same time, and of course she was very surprised and even shocked. She took me to the emergency room that day. I had a slight surgical scar on my stomach until when I was in elementary school, so that can be a proof that it's a literally true story. The fifth, I recently found an album in the wardrobe a few days ago. The pictures were mainly about me and my mom. However, some of my mom's pictures in the album were kind of weird. It's like her eyes were cut out as someone had purposely pierced it. "Hey, Mom, what's wrong with these pictures?" I asked her. And she answered, "When you were a kid, you would always get angry and pierce my eyes on every picture of me whenever you argued with me." My mom in those pictures was smiling pretty when she was young, but I've ruined all of them. I felt really sorry. When I wrote down like this, I thought I was crazy or something, seriously. But when I was talking with my mom about the past, I didn't believe that I did it. And finally, the last story is the main point of why I had to write this. Because this is the one that only I remember, and which is that my mom will never know. I still don't know why. Anyway, I was in elementary school at the time. One day around 3 p.m., my mom came back from work and fell asleep on the couch. And like a psycho in a thriller movie, I grabbed a big knife in the kitchen and slowly approached my mom. I went right in front of her and just stood there staring at her for a long time. At this time, I felt like it was me doing this, but on the other hand, it was not me. Then I remember that she twisted a little, as if she was going to wake up. And being surprised, I put the knife back in place. This story is a secret that I can never tell my mom, no matter how much time goes by. Pretty goosebumps, huh? But there's something even more creepy. Not long ago, my mom told me about her childhood story with her grandmother. And turned out, she once stood behind my grandma's back holding a knife when she was a little kid, like me. But when Grandma turned around and asked my mom what she was holding there, she finally recovered her consciousness, and she put the knife back in the kitchen. You see, it's a very similar story to mine. Of course, she never knows what I did that day. She just told me her story accidentally. Don't you guys think it's a creepy? I'm just wondering if the psychopath's temperament is the reason of genetics influence.
I never had a problem with insects. However, spiders were the only exception, because I was bitten by one a few years ago. So this is what happened to me. I was only 12 years old at the time. That day, we had a small party at school, where everyone had to bring something to eat. I went to the big table where the others had already put everything in place. After I found an empty seat, I took my small airtight container out of my backpack. But I froze as soon as I opened it. There were only insects left inside, and I could see some of the bugs falling on my legs and on both of my shoes. Everyone was staring at me in complete silence, especially my teacher, who was even more terrified. She asked me how long the food had been in the container. Of course, I explained to her that I had only wrapped it this morning, but I was literally able to see all the insects moving around inside the container. Besides, this situation in front of my classmates was incredibly uncomfortable for me. It was embarrassing. That's why I ran to the restroom, trying to get rid of the insects. It was during the winter season, so when I headed home, it was already dark outside. After that terrible incident, I was walking along the usual route in a depressed mood, and suddenly, I heard rustling behind me. I stopped and looked around, but I couldn't see anything that could make that sound. Oh, well, it's probably just my imagination. However, as I continued to walk, I saw a middle-aged man with a disgusting face and greasy hair standing in front of me. "What are you doing out here all alone so late, young lady?" he asked me with a deep, low voice, and I replied that I was just on my way home, while nervous. None of my neighbors were there at the time. I froze and couldn't move a single muscle when he asked me if I was hungry. I know, I was such a fool. I answered yes. Then he offered me some of his food, but I turned it down at first. I was only thinking about what I should do at that moment, and how I could escape from the horrible situation. But when he opened his container, I couldn't believe my eyes. A horrible smell got into my nose, and I saw it. The bugs. A crowd of insects flew in my face with a deafening loud sound. In horror, I screamed and fell to my back on the road. My arm must have been injured, but I didn't have any time to feel my injury. When my gaze slowly went upwards, this weird man slowly took a bug and he ate it. As soon as I saw this very sight, I felt like I was going to throw up at any moment. All of a sudden, something started crawling up my leg, and there were spiders all over it. Being extremely terrified, I jumped up immediately and ran as quickly as I could. Fortunately, he didn't follow me. And I never saw that man again around my town. But the insect phobia has remained. I didn't tell my family about that incident because they wouldn't believe me anyway. Every time I see insects, the thought of him comes back to me. Even a ladybug scares me now. Nevertheless, there is a question that never leaves my head. If I had failed to run away that day, what would the man have tried to do with me?
I moved into an apartment a few years ago. Our new house seemed a little dark, and it was still chilly in the middle of summer. And after moving into the house, my family conspicuously began to act a little strange. One day, my parents were in the living room, sitting and watching TV, and something was weird. My dad was laughing with his eyes and mouth wide open. Ha ha ha! Laughing like this. And my mom was giggling like crazy. However, I was very young at that time, so I would often copy that figure, thinking that was kind of play for adults. And another day, they would have a conversation lying down at the kitchen table. Should we go now? No, later. No, we should go now. Something like this. I began to get scared and decided to try some sort of exercising spells that were popular in my elementary school at the time. It was a way to shout, "Go away, you lala," 3 times before going to bed. I know it's kind of childish, but anyway, it was one night after I did this a few more times. I was about to sleep, and as soon as I lay down after turning off the lights, my parents came into my room. I felt something was not good, and being scared, I was in my bed covering my face. And they sat next to my bed, one by one. Dad sat in that narrow gap between the bed and the balcony door and whispered in my ear, "What was that? Why did you do that?" He kept whispering the same thing, and I had no choice but to pretend to be asleep with fear. Long after, I heard the door open. And when I opened my eyes to see if my parents had left, there was my mother. She was kneeling on my desk and smiling widely at me. Screaming, I ran out of the house on that road, fainted after a long run on the road, and was eventually found by the police passing by. After that, we had received help from our relatives and moved to a new apartment. One day, I had a nightmare while I was sleeping. Just realizing that I had sleep paralysis, I squeezed my voice and called my wife. And she immediately ran from my side. "Honey, are you okay?" I replied to her, take my hand. However, the left door opened suddenly, and I could see my wife was running toward me at that moment. She held my hand, asking if I was okay. And I felt a moment of anxiety, so I turned my head to the right with all my might. The woman who ran at me at first, she was not my wife, of course. She was looking at me, dancing strangely on the spot, and jumping beside me as if she got too excited. My wife soon turned on the lights, and as soon as the lights came on, she disappeared from sight. Who was that woman? The woman in front of my window. It was the middle of the night. I was choosing my clothes for the next day's appointment. After picking out some of my clothes, I was looking at the mirror with them and suddenly heard a sound from the window. It was like someone clicked their tongue. When I looked at the window, there was a woman laughing, with her face pressed down on the screen. I walked back in fear, quickly turned off the light. Then I woke up my dad, who was sleeping at that time. However, when we came back to the room, the woman was already gone. What's even scarier was that our house had its own yard, and it was on the other side of the houses in town. How did she get into our house and stand in front of my window? Whether she was a human or a ghost, I still have no idea who she was. It happened 3 years ago. On Saturday afternoon, I was hanging out with my friends, Austin, Vincent, Charlie, and Bobby, while my parents were gone for the weekend. We were playing Battlefield 1 at Austin's house, chilling and having a good time. A couple of hours later, we got bored and had nothing to do. So we went for a walk on the boardwalk, talking about what our plans are going to be for the summer. Vincent said he'll be going to Los Angeles with his family for a month, and Charlie will be in Arizona for 2 weeks. For Bobby, he'll be in London for a month, and I was going to Ocean City for a week. After we had a small chat, Austin asked me if we could go to the abandoned hospital around here. Being frightened, I was thinking that it wouldn't be a good idea to go there. However, I didn't want them to think of me as a chicken, so I agreed and decided to go there, and so did my friends. The outside was getting dark. We got into my truck and drove almost an hour to reach that destination. When we finally got there, I parked my truck right just next to the entrance, in case anything happens while we're checking out the hospital. We slowly got inside the hospital. The hallways and other rooms were empty. At first, I thought it was a little bit creepy and chilly inside. About 20 minutes later, walking around, we suddenly heard something that made our hearts drop. It was the sound of a girl screaming, saying, "Help! Somebody help me!" Then I heard some guy saying, "Shut your mouth," with a rough voice. We decided to follow the sound. When we went all the way up the stairs and got there, the dim light was coming from the room. I told my friends not to move a muscle while I was slowly approaching and peeking through the room. And what I saw was just unbelievable. A girl was taped around her legs, arms behind her back, and even her mouth now. I quietly told my friends to come to the room. I didn't see the other guy, so we quickly approached her, releasing the tape around her. "Thank you, guys," she said. "What's your name and what happened?" I asked her, and she replied, "My name is Hannah. I was kidnapped by a man 3 weeks ago while I was coming home from college." Then I asked again, "What does he look like?" "I think he's mid-40s. He has black hair and he's chubby looking," she replied back, and after she gave me the details, we decided to help her escape and get back to my truck. However, we saw a movement suddenly coming from the stairway with a lighting candle. Fortunately, we found an empty dark room at that moment and hid there. And not long after, I could see a figure wearing a flannel shirt, jeans, boots, and came into the room. He was holding a big machete. I was positive that creepy man was the one Hannah was talking about. After the man passed the room where we were hiding, we got out of the room quietly without making a sound as possible as we could. We were about to get to the exit. All of a sudden, a loud scream was heard from upstairs. "You! Where the heck are you? I'm going to kill you!" My heart pounded so hard. We had no choice but just to make a run toward my truck as soon as possible. All of my friends jumped in the back of my truck, and then I quickly started the engine. As I started the engine, Austin gave a big shriek. "Holy shit, Matt! Get the heck out of here right now!" I then looked behind us, and there he was. The guy was chasing after us with his big machete in his hand, and I quickly drove off. While one of my friends called the police, we pulled up at the gas station waiting for the cops to show up. They arrived in about 10 minutes. We told them exactly what happened tonight, and after we informed them where the hospital was, they went over to investigate the case. They eventually caught the man soon. He was taken into custody and after that got charged with kidnapping and attempted murder. After the police took him away, They told us they'd been searching for this man for 5 years. They also told us that he had prior convictions from the past of raping women and other kidnapping charges. And the poor Hannah. The ambulance took her to the hospital, and then we all came back to our house. After that day, we decided to never go to such places like that again. I still can't stop thinking about what would have happened if we failed to escape. Also, what would have happened to Hannah if we didn't show up? We all might be dead. I will never forget that night.
My name is Bree. This happened in 2016. I was 19 years old at the time. I was up late the night before into the early morning studying, and I hadn't had much sleep, so I had just woken up from a nap. I decided to hop in the shower to wake myself. That's when I heard this weird scraping sound coming from somewhere outside. I stopped the shower and peered out from behind the curtain, and then made my way over to the window. I saw nothing, but I could still hear the noise. I thought it may have been my neighbor working in a shed, so I ignored the disturbance and finished up in the shower. Before I continue, I should inform you that I have severe anxiety problems, and I often get a little paranoid sometimes. It also doesn't help that I have PTSD as well. Anyways, I was now back in my room, and I took a seat on my bed. I texted my then-boyfriend and asked him what he wanted for dinner. While I was waiting for him to respond, I just relaxed and scrolled through my Facebook. I was reading an article about the recent clown sightings that were happening at the time, when I was interrupted by the sound of footsteps coming from outside. I stopped and listened carefully. I heard a few more steps, followed by a tapping noise. I was a bit confused by this. It hadn't yet occurred to me that I had an unwelcomed guest outside. I was thinking why my boyfriend hadn't knocked on the door or called before he showed up. We usually had a routine with things like this, especially if I was home alone. He would either text, call, or FaceTime me to let me know when he was on his way home, or if he was at the door, because there had been a lot of shady activity around our neighborhood at the time. I then called out to him, and suddenly, all fell silent. I texted him and asked if he was at the door. There was no reply, so I decided to peek through the bedroom window. While I was making my way to the other side of the room, my phone started ringing. It was my boyfriend wanting to FaceTime. When I answered, he said he was about 15 minutes away. As I was talking to him, I pulled back the curtains of my bedroom window. And that's when all the blood in my veins turned to ice as I came face to face with a fucking clown. I know I wasn't hallucinating. An actual clown was looking at me through the window, smiling. After my initial shock, I actually started to laugh, thinking that this had to be some kind of prank my boyfriend was pulling on me. So I played along, pretending to be terrified, and whispered into the phone. "Very funny, asshole. Love the whole scary clown thing." I chuckled and rolled my eyes. My boyfriend was confused, and I explained to him about the clown at the window, and said that he and his friend did a good job scaring the piss out of me. He seemed confused, saying that all of his friends were hanging out at the pub, and that he was not a part of any plan to prank me. Upon hearing this, I felt my stomach in my throat as I looked back at the clown, who was still just outside my window. He reached into his costume and pulled out a very real-looking butcher's knife. By this point, I wasn't sure what was going on, so I grabbed my baseball bat. My boyfriend told me that he was now only a few minutes away. He shouted at me to stay inside and to lock all the doors and windows. I quickly closed the curtains and went into the lounge. It wasn't long before I heard a loud pounding on the front door. Suddenly, I heard a creepy voice coming from the other side.
"Let me in, child."
I didn't respond to the voice. I just stood perfectly still, waiting for the next move. loud pounding rang out again, causing the door to rattle on its hinges, but I kept quiet, even when I heard the doorknob rattling. Although I was pretty scared at this point, I was also getting a tad irritated and yelled out to the clown,
"Fuck off! Go annoy someone else!"
I then heard a muffled laughter, followed by the creepy voice.
"Please let me in, doll. I just want to play. I want to play with your insides."
I had enough of this. I was about to go out and confront this creepy asshole myself when I heard my boyfriend's voice, who was still on the phone, say,
"Hang up and call the cops."
After some consideration, I thought that maybe confronting the creepy clown outside with a butcher's knife was not the correct course of action. So I did as my boyfriend said. I left the lounge and was soon explaining to the police dispatcher the situation. I was on my way back to my room when I heard the sound of glass breaking. I stopped in my tracks and told them that I think the clown just broke into the house. They immediately told me to get somewhere safe, and that's when I heard my ex yelling out,
"Hey, what the fuck are you doing? Get the hell out of here. The police are on the way."
The clown just bellowed out a psychotic laugh and took off. As I made my way back into the bedroom, something caught my eye. I peered out the window. Through a gap in the curtains, I saw another clown. He appeared to be holding some kind of saw blade in his hand. I went to move, but I was like a deer caught in the headlights. I couldn't move or scream. Fear then overcame me, as I realized my boyfriend was now out there with two creepy clowns. I screamed into the phone,
"There's another clown outside my bedroom. Please hurry."
After a few moments, I was relieved when I heard my boyfriend at the back door. I quickly let him inside. We then held each other tightly until the police arrived. After taking our statements, the police discovered a rusted hacksaw and an axe lying on the ground outside of my bedroom window. There were red marks all over them. Of course, the creepy clowns that had turned my night into a freak show were nowhere to be found. After that night, I struggled to fall asleep. I often think to myself, what would have happened to me if I had been stupid enough to open that door? Were they just a couple of thrill seekers looking to frighten a girl who was all alone? Or were they, in fact, out for blood?
A few years ago, it was in January. It was so cold that our town was all frozen, and the streets were very quiet back then. I was living on the second floor of the apartment building at that time, and I could see a small park and a bench in the direction of my balcony. One night, it was around 9 p.m. My cell battery had just died, so I went near the balcony to pick up my charger, and I saw a child sitting on a bench about 30 meters away. It was snowing heavily outside at the time, so I thought it was a little weird for a child to sit on a bench alone in the middle of the night, especially on this cold day. However, I soon decided not to care about him, thinking that he's just waiting for his parents. Then I surfed the website for a while, and it was about 12 a.m. I went back to the balcony to lock the window, and that kid, he was still sitting on the bench. Looking at the back of his head, I began to worry that something might be wrong with him. So, after thinking about it for a long time, I posted a post on the website I often go. "Guys, there's a child out there in this time. Should I call the police?" I then looked back at the bench. Maybe I can talk to him for a second. Thinking like this, I opened the window and shouted at the child. "Hey! Hey, kid!" He seemed not to hear my voice. He was just sitting there, not even looking at me. I shouted to him a few more times, then gave up. Went back to the living room, checking the comments, and there was one comment caught in my eyes. "Hey, listen, that is not a human. Just shut the door and go to sleep. Do not talk to him." I got goosebumps. I slowly went out to the balcony again, and to my surprise, the child was gone. Was he a real ghost, or just gone somewhere? Thinking like this, I tried to shut the window that I had left open earlier, and looked down at the window inadvertently. And there was a child. He was standing in front of the first floor, still turning back. Holding my breath, I got so surprised that I quickly closed the window and locked it completely to the inner door. However, I ended up staying up all night that day. Eventually, nothing happened that day, but I still think it's the weirdest experience of my life. What if I didn't see his comment that moment? Wouldn't that ghost have come into my house through the window? Of course, that kid may be a real person, but I still can't forget the back of his head.
I currently live in South Korea, and this story is about my experience. I used to suffer from nightmares without any reason during my freshman midterm exam. At first, I couldn't remember my dream well when I woke up and just thought it was because of stress, as it was the middle of the exam period. However, the nightmare continued on and on even after the exam, and it became clearer, so I remembered it vividly in the end. And the weird thing was not just that. Exactly four dreams kept repeating. In the first dream, I grab a woman in hanbok from a large hanok-style house and drag her down to the front yard. Then I beat her. Second, the same woman is crying on the ground, and I pull her hair and drag her to the well at the end of the yard. Third, the woman cries with her face covered with tears and blood and begs me in front of the well, "For mercy's sake, please forgive me." Then the person who seems to be me stares at her, and then I laugh and push her into the well. Lastly, it is the strangest and the most ominous dream. I can hear a woman's voice, but all I see is a well in front of me. I approach the well, and there's a woman smiling with tears in her eyes, and she bursts out laughing and keeps on saying this, "Slow and steady wins the game. What a joy." I couldn't sleep well while I had these four nightmares over and over again all month long. So one day, I ended up going to a fortune teller. After he listened to my story, he said it would be more helpful to experience my past life than to interpret my dream. Half uneasiness and half doubts, I started to experience my past life. And surprisingly, it overlapped with my dream. In my past, I was a woman and I had a maid whose name was Seon. My appearance was not exceptional, and I wasn't talented, while Seon was beautiful and had many talents. Then one day, I heard from the people who seemed to be my parents that they wanted to make Seon marry someone after lying about her being their daughter instead of me. I got angry when I heard that, and the next day I grabbed Seon's hair and threw her into the front yard as soon as my parents went to the other house to discuss marriage. For no reason, she started to beg me, "I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry." It made me angrier, so I stomped on Sion's body violently and beat her in the face until she was covered in blood. Then her clothes slipped down, and I could see a big bruise on her belly. When Seon fell on the floor and sobbed without moving, I then grabbed her hair and headed for the well at the end of the yard. She cried and cried out for help, but I ignored it and pushed her into the well. Finally, I went back into the room and locked the door. My past life experience just ended that way. I think it would be better for you to visit her. After experiencing my past life, he introduced me to a shaman. Usually, I didn't believe that kind of stuff, and especially hated shaman stuff. But he continued, The shaman is originally a doctor. People who suffer from ghosts or spirits come to them, just as sick people are treated by doctors. But money makes people do some crazy things. So the next day, I visited the shaman with my friend. And when I started talking about my dreams and past life experiences, she suddenly laughed at me. She laughed frantically that her teeth were all exposed. But then she suddenly looked serious. Her expression was so creepy that I sat still without saying anything. Then she said, "Slow and steady wins the game. You have killed her and enjoyed your life, and you haven't even collected her body. How cruel you were. She won the game." She glared at me, but then looked up into the air and suddenly started to drop tears. Poor thing. How scary and sad she would have been. She muttered for a long time, then asked me again, suddenly with a startled look, "Do you have a baby who will be born soon?" Suddenly, I remembered that my aunt had a month left before childbirth and that I had bought her baby shoes. I was so surprised that my eyes were wide open and stared at her. And this time, she banged the desk and asked again, "The baby! Am I right?" Now, being scared of this situation, I cried and nodded. Then the shaman said, "No, you're in big trouble. It's too late. You should have killed the baby." When she spoke to herself, my friend asked, "No way. Why do they have to kill the baby? Why?" "This woman killed people in her past life. That wasn't enough. She threw her in the well and enjoyed her life. Her anger and resentment have piled up over and over. And now she came to her." I couldn't understand what the shaman said. So me and my friend were thinking for a long time, and she yelled again, "She will come back as a baby. Now listen to me. Do not stay with the baby after it's born. You must never be with her until her first birthday." "Why?" my friend asked. She then sighed and replied, "The baby remembers the past." After that, we left the shaman's house and went home saying that she was a freak or something like that. However, surprisingly, I no longer had nightmares after I met her. After a month and a little longer, my cousin was born. And a few days later, I visited my aunt with my mother. When she asked my aunt what her child's name was, she smiled and answered. At that moment, my heart sank with her words. "It's Yun. My mother-in-law went to the naming center for her first grandchild, and they told her to name her Sion. Then she will do well and have a healthy life. That's what they told her." I thought it was just a coincidence, but my uncle next to me laughed and said, "But hey, you know what's interesting? She has a big mole on her belly." At first, I thought something was stained, so I tried to erase it, but it wasn't that. Then as he lifted up the baby's clothes and showed her belly, I collapsed on the floor. It reminded me of the woman's bruise I saw in my past life. I told my mom that I would go first because I wasn't feeling well and left the hospital right away. After that, I explained everything to my mom when she arrived home. She just laughed at me at first, but it seemed like she thought about my story. So she took me to a temple the next day. A monk took me and my mother to the sermon hall, and we both performed a memorial ceremony for a few days for a woman named Sion, with a sincere apology. I felt sorry for my aunt, but I had to contact her only by phone and text until the baby's first birthday party. About 2 months later, I had a dream. A woman came to me, and I could see she was crying. After I woke up, I called the shaman I had visited before, and she said, "Okay, everything is over. You'll be fine." Frankly speaking, I still don't have the courage to see my baby cousin, but hope I can smile at her and see her face someday.
Wow. Well, y'all, that is my time. I hope y'all have enjoyed the show. I hope that y'all was entertained. I hope I had the pleasure of hopefully making it hard for you to sleep tonight. Anyway, man, those stories be making me think. And the reason why I love October and everything that comes with October, no, I don't celebrate Halloween. I've been celebrating Halloween. But it's like stories like these are like a taste of my childhood or whatnot. Sitting around fireplace, campfire, telling ghost tales, and just letting your imagination take off. And it's the best feeling in the world to still have one. And anybody that knows me and has purchased any of my poetry books, they know I have quite the imagination. So it was not even a question, or it wasn't even hard to even fathom what I was going to do when it came to these shows, as well as, you know, terror tales and things like that, which this is a hyper-extended version of that. But, yeah, I want to give people their imagination back, you know what I'm saying, just sitting and listen, not being visual, but just sitting and imagine each thing that is being spoke about and making your own scenario of it. What would you do in those particular moments? What would you do, you know, if you was being chased home because of whatever reason? Like, what would you do? And I guess that's why I kind of like things like 31 Days of Harvest. But anyway, make sure y'all, you know, come back and see me same time, same place. Right here at Radio Bed. Ravens Real Spill Radio. I think it's sometimes. But yeah, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Ravens Real Spill. And that's Ravens with an apostrophe S. Or you won't cry. But I'm going to leave out of here with my thought of the night. And my thought of the night is this. Make sure that as you are dishing out the best of you, that the person that you're pouring into is able to pour back into you. Because if not, ultimately, you're going to end up with an empty vessel. And who wants that? It serves the purpose. So with that being said, love, peace, and blessings. Pray before you leave. I love y'all, and good night.